This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Salasuna. Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa salatu wa salamu ala al-Mawuthi rahmatin lil alameen nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa al-yawm. ربيع الثاني 1445 الموافق ل 30 من شهر اكتوبر 2023 حاصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك الدعي والدواء. اسال الله سبحانه وتعالى ان يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وان يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر لابن القيم ويرفع درجته في العليين. So today inshallah we'll be dealing with a new chapter which is about اثار المحبه وتوابعها. So we have been talking about love. So what are the effects, the consequence, the result, you know, that emerge from that love, whether it is good or bad? What do you generate from that? Ibn al-Qayyim says, وَالْمَحَبَّةُ لَهَا آثَارٌ وَتَوَابِعُ وَلَوَازِمُ أَحْكَامٍ. It has effects, it has attachment, you know, it has necessities, meaning when it happens, there must be something which will take place because of its occurrence. وَأَحْكَامُ. And also the حُكُم. حُكُم sometimes means لَوَازِم, you know, the consequences. So Ibn al-Qayyim says, سَوَاءٌ كَانَتْ مَحْمُودَ أَمْ مَذْمُومَ نَافِعَةً أَوْ ضَارَّ. Whether it is good love or is the evil one, there has to be consequences. And these consequences might be good, or might be bad. نَافِعَةً أَوْ ضَارَّ. Whether it is harmful or the one that benefits. So these athar, they range from al-wajdi, wal-zawqi, wal-halawati, wal-shawqi, wal-unsi, wal-itisal bil-mahbub, wal-qurbu minhu. Al-wajdi is a feeling. Okay, wajdan is a feeling. That, what kind of feeling that result from that muhabba you have? Yeah, that's true, right? Any muhabba, whether that good or bad, that's, there must be a consequence. Or taste, or sweetness, or a shawq, having strong interest to meet that person. Well, uns, being in a state of comfort when the name is being mentioned. SubhanAllah, you know, they mention, you know, some of these people who reach the level of ishq beyond the limitation. Ashiqa imra, you know, he loves a sister and she doesn't even know about him. Yeah, but he loves her so much in the way he got sick. Doesn't eat and no medicine works with him. SubhanAllah, they brought one of the doctors and he said, oh, most likely this person is having some problems, psychological issues based on maybe some love or something. So he said, let us try this. And they kept on mentioning the name of the sisters in the community. And SubhanAllah, believe it or not, they say when the name of that particular sister comes, the guy started moving his eyes. And he recovered and he ate, you know. So the doctor told them the remedy is to convince that woman to marry him. But how can she marry a loser like this, you know? Yeah, we're going to see. I mean, in the past, I think we passed this. A lot of quotations by Ibn Qayyim, examples of these people who died, mentioning the name of the khatiba rather than La ilaha illallah. That would be tragedy. So, with shawq, when a person does that which is wrong, sometimes he might be having a shawq to meet that person. And this shawq might be correct or wrong, you know, because when you have the shawq to meet the good ones, to be with the good ones, is that okay? Yes, that's okay. Yeah, that's okay. You have the shawq to meet your squad, you know, to be with them so that you can take the knowledge. You have the shawq to the knowledge. And you have other people who their shawq. Shawq is a strong interest to meet or to have something. The shawq is to meet something that is haram. You can see the differences. So it says, well, uns, and being in a state of comfort. And some people, you don't mention that person they love, they will not be in a state of comfort. Well, it's a salib al mahbub al qurbu minhu. The result of that love will motivate some people to go and connect themselves to him and bring themselves closer to him. Awl intisal wal bu'd anhu. Or sometimes because of knowledge from that person, you try to disconnect yourself and stay away from him. الصد والهجران, and sometimes we block him from reaching you. Yeah, there are people when you know about them, you block them from reaching you. Call some deserve this. والهجران, and you're forsaking a person because of his attitude and his behavior. والفرح والسرور, and sometimes the result is to make you happy, or to make you happy, you know, or to make you sad. Okay. والبكاء والحزن, sometimes you cry and you'll be in a state of sadness. وغير ذلك من أحكامها ولوازمها. So Ibn Qayyim is trying to tell you that love that you see in this life, whether good or bad, there has to be a result for that. When you love somebody or you hate somebody, there must be a consequence attached to this. قال والمحبة المحمودة هي المحبة النافعة التي تجلب لصاحبها ما ينفعه في دنياه وأخراه أو آخرته. He said that the mahabba al-mahmuda, the love that is praised, the good one, it is the mahabba that brings you, you know, something that is beneficial to you in the dunya or the akhirah. You know, like later nas faqihu hadha, that the real mahabba, the one that is praised, the good one, is the one that you generated something that is beneficial in the dunya or in the akhirah. Otherwise, most of the mahabba that people are having, it harms, not the benefit. Allah. Even the one that is supposed to be the correct one, because whenever we talk about mahabba, is the mahabba baina al-rajul wal-mara. Most of it, is it a good one or a bad one? The bad one. So it brings evil, you know? The distraction that you have in your heart is more than enough to take a person away from this type of mahabba. قالوا المحبة المحمودة هي المحبة النافعة التي تجلب لصاحبها ما ينفعه في دنياه وآخرته. It's the one that brings what benefits you in the dunya and the akhirah. وهذه المحبة هي عنوان السعادة وضدها هي التي تجلب لصاحبها ما يضره في دنياه وآخرته. وهي عنوان الشقاوة. The root of success is that محبة. That is praise, the one that takes you to success in the dunya, and the one that brings you what benefits you and takes you away from that which is harmful. You get it? And the opposite is the root of the shakawa. Yeah? Shakawa is being a loser in this dunya. When the person has the mahabba towards anything, not necessarily a man or a woman, no, even the dunya, the normal dunya, wealth or whatever. So if the person doesn't do the right thing, you know, and became blind, it might take a person to the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال ومعلوم أن الحي العاقل لا يختار ما يضره ويشقي. And he says, everyone knows that a person who is within his consciousness, عاقل means a sane person, لا يختار ما يضره ويشقي, will never agree to choose that which is harmful to him and put him in a state of difficulty and hardship. Al-aql ya'ba hadha. The person who has aql always try to choose that which brings good and benefit to him and stay away from anything that is harmful to his life. So Ibn al-Qayyim says, al-aql doesn't choose that which is harmful to him. So if you look at so many people nowadays, you call them uqala or desolate. I'm not desolate, prodigal. Yeah, the second one. Yeah. Whether we like it or we don't like it, it's like that. Because when you choose something that you love, and that love is taking you to, other than maradi, you know, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that means there is something wrong with the aql of that person. Even if he thinks he's the smartest person. The wrongdoers and the non-believers who go to hell. In this life, they believe they have apple. But when they find themselves in the hell, what is the comment? لَوْ كُنَّا نَعْقِلُ. And now they say they have apple. But in the hell, talk about the truth. They say, we wish we have apple. Yeah. So apple is something that takes you to focus on that which benefit. If a person is not doing this, trust me, this is equal to a majnoon. Although he called himself aqil, but this person is majnoon. Whoever does things which are harmful, and he knows that these are harmful to him, but he still does them, this person has problem with his aql. Ibn Qayyim says, "Wa ma'lumun anna al-hayya al-aqil la yakhtaru ma yadurruhu wa yashqi, wa innama yasturu dhalika an jahlin wa dhulm." A person can only choose that which is harmful to him if he is ignorant. He doesn't know. Yeah, later on when he knows, he will say, "I wish I was told about this thing, I would never choose it." Or al-zalim, linafsihi, somebody who oppressed himself. He knows that this is harmful to him, but he still does that. Because of what? Dhul. Because sometimes we oppress ourselves. Yeah, when you do something wrong, the first person that you are oppressing is yourself. Yeah, because the consequence is going to be really bad. Against who? Against you. Sooner or later. قَالَ فَإِنَّ النَّفْسَ تَهْوَى مَا يَضُرُّهَا وَلَا يَنْفَعُهَا. Because the soul naturally, you know, desire that which is harmful to it and doesn't benefit the soul in any way. وَذَلِكَ ظُلْمُ الْإِنسَانِ لِنَفْسِهِ. ظُلْمُ الْإِنسَانِ لِنَفْسِهِ. And this is the example of a human being harming himself. Allah says, ثُمَّ أَوْرَثَ الْكِتَابَ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَيْنَا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا فَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدٌ وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقٌ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ. Some of them are ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. Who are these ones? Those people who are committing sin. Because when I commit sin, I'm oppressing myself first and foremost before anybody else. You get it? ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدٌ. Scholars are very happy with this ayah because Allah put them all of them, He said He will forgive them as long as they repent. وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقٌ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ. And they say Jannah. He did not say which one is going to Jannah. And inshallah, and that's one of the evidences that we take to confirm to us the aqeedah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah that a Muslim who died in Islam will not remain in hell. Contrary to Mu'tazila and the Khawarij. قال وذلك ظلم من الإنسان لنفسه إما بأن تكون جاهلا بحال محبوبها بأن تهوى الشيء وتحبه غير عالمة بما في محبته من المضرة وهذا حال من اتبع هواه بغير علم. سبحان الله. My knowledge is essential. And whatever you want to be with, you should know about that thing first. Yeah, when they produce things, they give you the manual, right? So that you know how to deal with it. Yeah. And in choosing friends, this is really necessary. Yeah. Check about them first to see who they are. And then you conclude whether you agree to go with them or to reject them. Lack of knowledge will put you in the state of tragedy. Yeah. We have a lot of examples in this life, you know. In one of the countries, somebody was saying that somebody lives with people who are drugs dealers, dealing with drugs. And he doesn't know. Yeah, when the authority comes, they pack everyone, including him. Yeah, later on he regrets, he will understand the danger of just being with people you don't know who they are. That's why in this life there are some people who are like that. You know, being with them is so fancy, he just go with them. No, check first and see. If that person has some behaviors, it's better for you to stay away from him. Because if something happens, naturally people will keep on chasing those people who are closer to him. And this is very natural. Yeah, because usually we share these type of things with friends, right? We share with friends, husbands, wife, you know. People that you know, they will side with you. So that's why it's really necessary when you decide to take somebody as your friend, to study that person first. Study that person. And this fits us a lot, being in an international environment where you have people you don't know who they are. Different mentalities. Yeah, don't just randomly choose a person just because you think he's smart. Yeah, you might regret, wallah. He might be the person who will take you from the right way to the wrong path. Study first. And if you see that person not having the good manners that deserve to be with, then stay away from him with no apology. Yeah, when it comes to friendship, no apology. Select who to be on your side. If not, then you will be in trouble and that friend will not benefit you, right? Will not benefit you. So he says, people sometimes, you know, choose that which is harmful to them out of ignorance. He says, sometimes they become jahilun, you know, they don't know. the nature of that person, that's why they chose him. You know, when the matakuna jahilata bihalima, we have the antahwa shayya, or to hibbahu ghair alimatin, bima fi mahabbati min al-madara. Wahada halu min ittaba hawa ilayhi. And this is the nature and the situation of somebody who follows his desire without having the knowledge. Is that clear? Yeah. So it should be the base and the scale that you weigh the person that you want to take as your friend. Yeah. These are serious matters in Islam. Who should be next to you? Yeah. Who should be next to us? Righteous people. Yeah. Shouldn't take somebody who is not righteous. He said, إِذَا مَا صَحِبْتَ الْقَوْمَ فَاصْحَبْ خِيَارَهُ. Whenever you decide to take people as friends, take the best ones. Imam Shafi, out of humbleness and humility, said, أُحِبُّ الصَّالِحِينَ فَلَسْتُ مِنْهُمْ. These are righteous people. They always try to tell people that they are not that position you put them in. Only in our time we think we are okay. But in the past, no. They always tell you, We hope Allah SWT will accept us. Yeah. And that's the best way to make it. Not to be so sure that everything is fine. You know? And sometimes you have these people who believe everything is fine, but they're the worst in terms of actions. Allah SWT says, قُلْ هَلْ أُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالَ الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ. The vast majority of the innovators, whether their innovation take them out of Islam or it did not take them out of Islam. Do you think they know what they're doing to be wrong Islamically? No. The leaders, their score, you know, trust me, some of them know exactly this is wrong. But because it brings money, more followers. One of them was telling his people in secret, and subhanAllah, the vast majority of the followers of this manhaj did not know about this. But they discover in some part of his biography, he once told his students, he said, you see our method, the way we're doing things. He said, we did not even smell Islam. But who knows this? Nobody. People are hanging around there shouting. And he brought a lot of things which are not part of the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam out of the claim that he also got connection with Rasulullah from time to time. The worst type of joke I heard is that person, you know. Even yesterday, I saw this, one of these people, you know. SubhanAllah. They wanted to talk to him. Yeah, they wanted to talk to him. And he told the journalist, you know, they were doing research about this type of method. And they reached the guy, you know. And they don't let them meet the sheikh. I don't know, even Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever you come to him, you meet. But that one, they can't. And they told them they have to give them, how much? ₺1. No, $10,000 for one meeting. He said, after long negotiation, you know, we managed to see. He allows. And subhanAllah, look at Tahmat al-Kubra. The one who's telling them that the sheikh allows, he said, the sheikh told us that yesterday he was just on a conversation with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam through the phone. Even the journalist was saying hatifiyan, hatifiyan, repeating the word through the phone. He had a conversation with him, and he told him that there is no problem, you can reach them and they can even have pictures if they wish. They have followers, you know. Allah. Whatever useless things a person brings nowadays, there will be some people who will follow him. That's why it's necessary for you to weigh the affair of a person before you accept or reject. Imam Shafi says, if you see a person flying in the air, in our term, we say, what? This is wali, right? Yeah. You see him flying in the air. You see him walking on the sea, on the water. The people say, oh, mashallah, wali min awliya'illah. And you see everyone come in. He spit before drinking, spit to eat, they take his shoes, they do so many things you see. They bring their children also to get that thing. Allahumma astaghfirullah. They call him Wali. Imam Shafi says, do not trust anyone who brings these things until you weigh his affairs with the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yeah, these type of people, the best thing to do just go next to him and recite the Ayat al-Kursi. Trust me, he will fall down. And because many of them are carried by the devils and the shaitan. When you read Quran, they will run away. Those ones, they don't know friendship when they get into trouble. Yeah, shaitan brought them to the place of the Battle of Badr. When he sees the angels, what did he do? He said, I'm with you. He said, no. Inni bari'un minkum. He said, I have disconnected myself from you. Inni akhaf Allah. He said, I fear Allah. Wallahu shadidul iqab. And he ran away. He brought them to the place, but he ran away. He left them alone. So please open your eyes. Whenever you see a person, don't just trust. Weigh his affairs with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If it is against, just look for somebody else. Get it? There's no muhabba in this, because if you don't do this, you'll get into trouble and that person will not benefit you. Although they said, don't worry, we will help you when you go to the grave. I don't know how people manage to believe in this. You know? If Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Fatima, radiallahu anha, he said, Ya Fatima bint Muhammad, salini mimma li ma shi'ti fa inni la ughni anki min Allahi shay'a. He said, Fatima, ask me from my wealth whatever you wish. But you have to know that I cannot benefit you when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. You have to do this. How is it possible that somebody will come and convince me and you that we shouldn't worry, do whatever you want, I will stand for you when you go to the grave? And some people believe in that. And they don't do what they're supposed to be doing. They do all kinds of stupidities because the sheikh is standing for them. You can see how bad is this, right? Because these people might be doing anything that is wrong in the city. Why? Because somebody is standing for them. And we reply all the questions when they reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa liyadu illa. So Ashahid, please make sure that you check about your friends to make sure that you are taking a good person. This is the situation and the condition of somebody who follows his desire without having knowledge. And sometimes the person will know that yes, it is harmful to follow this person. It is harmful to make this person a person as a friend. But he does, out of favoring the desire over that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. So he neglects the knowledge he has and follow his own desire. Subhanallah, we have some people, they will tell you, we know it's not good, but we don't have any other choice. Allahu musta'an. He said he knows it is not good, but he doesn't have any other choice. And this is kadhib. There is always a way out. In circumstances when there is no way out, then everyone knows that this are the state and the conditions of necessity, right? Haram will be halal. But these are rare situations and exceptions also at the same time. قَالَ وَقَدْ تَرَكَّبُ مَحَبَّتُهَا مِنْ أَمْرَيْنِ. You know, this love that a person is having towards something might be based on two things. Number one, i'tiqadin fasidin wa hawan madhmum. Either a wrong belief or following the desire. He knows wrong, but he's following. قال وهذا حال من اتبع الظن وما تهوى الانفس. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk to us about some people. They are following what? Al-dhan, speculations. وَمَا تَهْوَى الْأَنفُسُ, and whatsoever their soul desire. And the moment your life is based on this, trust me, my dear brothers and sisters, your life is going to be messy. وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا. You will be negligent in almost everything if you're following that desire. As long as that desire is not following Allah, you're not supposed to follow that desire. فَلَا تَقَوُ الْمَحَبَّةُ الْفَاسِدَةُ إِلَّا مِنْ جَهَلٍ أَوْ اِتِقَادٍ فَاسِدٍ أَوْ هَوًا غَالِبٍ أو ما تركب من ذلك وأعان بعضه على بعض فتنفق شبهة وشهوة شبهة يشتبه بها الحق بالباطل وتزين له أمر المحبوب وشهوة تدعو إلى حصوله فيتساعد جيش الشبهة والشهوة على جيش العقل والإيمان والغلبة لأقواه. So Ibn al-Qayyim says, this is the nature and the condition of somebody who follows a dhan. Speculations and bad thoughts, you know, wrong thoughts, وَمَا تَهْوَى الْأَنفُسُ, and his desire. Ibn al-Qayyim says, the mahabba al-fasida will never happen except based on ignorance or wrong belief, false belief that somebody has. Al-fasid, he believes that this person is okay, and he loves him because of that. Yeah, these are the people who are having shallow thinking, right? I see him in the masjid, he's righteous, right? Yeah, usually we do like that. Yeah, he prays with us, and then he's good. Especially nowadays, you know, one thing that a person will do, this is capable, I mean, this is enough for us to give a very good recommendation about him. I have seen a lot. When you ask a person, they will tell you, oh, this person is very good, very good, very kind. How long have you been with him? Just in the masjid when they come to the class. Of course, when he comes to the class, he's always humble. But what does he do out of the class? Allahu alam. So that being with him in the classroom shouldn't be enough for me to judge his attitude and his behavior. Yeah, that's why whenever a request comes to me about people who I know, you know, or used to come, okay, I shouldn't talk about this, you know. Yeah, I always have to say that, yeah, what I know from this is the knowledge between a teacher and the student. And everyone knows that usually this is a very good relationship, right? But what he does outside, I don't know. If you ask me to judge that one, I would say, yeah, he's very good. Very kind person, dedicated student of knowledge. However, what he does outside, I don't know. Yeah, because we have seen people, student of knowledge, very good student of knowledge. We give good recommendation about that. But afterwards, auzubillah, you know, you don't know what happened. They turned into somebody else. So if you go and say, yeah, he is waliyun min awliya illah, you know, and then that person got into trouble because of your recommendation, you put them into trouble. So that's why when we recommend or write the tazkiyah, what do we say at the end? Hada ma na'rifanu. This is what we know about him. Yeah. Any tazkiyah you are writing, don't you ever write a tazkiyah and say, yeah, this person is waliyun min awliya illah, very good person, righteous person, and keep quiet. No, don't do that. Just say that we know him to be good, to be kind, to have good manners, to be upon the manhaj of the Salaf al-Saleh. And then at last you say, this is what we know about him. Wallahu hasib. Yeah, you have to say this. Wallahu hasibuhu wa la nuzakki ala Allahi ahada. There are people who, you know, physically when you see them, mashallah, but in reality, they're devils. Right? So be very careful because this tazkiyah is going to be recorded. Yeah? This is shahada. Yeah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ashahidu khalqahu, satuktabu shahadatuhu, wa yus'alun. Yeah, it's not a thing. Satuktabu shahadatuhu, wa yus'alun. They are going to be questioned about their shahada. They say, angels, they are the daughters of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa liyaz billah. Allah says, were they there when Allah created the angels? I mean, they witnessed that. Satuktabu shahadatuhu, wa yus'alun. There is a weak hadith. I'm just mentioning this because this is a majlis al, weak narration. Somebody asked the Prophet ﷺ about testimony. Rasulullah ﷺ told him according to that hadith, he said, Tara shams, do you see the sun? He said, yes. He said, fashad. Only witness something that you see like the sun. Don't base your testimony on speculations and thoughts. I think he is okay. No. Tell them the truth. I don't know him. I only met him once. And during my meeting with him, he seems to be okay. But I don't know. This is just one meeting that I had with him. You get the idea. The meaning of the hadith is accurate, it's perfect. Yeah, they shouldn't talk about somebody unless if you have the correct itiqad about him. So he says, Mahabba al-fasida is based on ignorance or itiqad fast. Having the wrong information about that person. You get the idea. So many thoughts, Ibn Qayyim says, بَعْضُهُ يَتَرَكَّبُ عَلَى بَعْضُ, and then shubha will emerge. And based on that shubha also, shahwa is there. So you have shubha is fighting. You know the shubha, right? Doubtful matters. Shubhas are confusing to you. But at the same time, shubha is there. You get the idea. The battle will take place between this shubha and also that nature that you have, which is telling you that you have to be very careful. So the Ibn Qayyim says, فَيَتَسَعَدُ جَيْشُ الشُّبْهَةُ وَالشَّهْوَةُ عَلَى جَيْشِ الْعَقْلِ وَالْإِيمَانِ وَالْغَلْبَةُ لِأَقْوَاهُمَا. So the two armies would meet, the army of Iman and what you call smartness and the akal, and the army of Shahwa. Shahwa means desire, and Shubha is a disease that affects the heart. So Ibn Qayyim says one of them has to win. You get the idea, one of them has to win. And in these situations, trust me, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not interfere, a person will get lost. Yeah. Don't you ever agree to put yourself in the place of Shubha just because you have Iman. Yeah, some people say it's okay, I have Iman, I can protect myself, and then he put himself in the Mawatin al-Shubha. And what do we see from them? They got deviated. Yeah, they got deviated. And sometimes when the deviation comes, they became worse than who were inside before. Get the idea? So don't you ever trust yourself when it comes to Shubuhat. You see Yusuf alayhi salam, right? You know Yusuf alayhi salam. Who was he? Prophet of Allah, right? Rasul min Rasulullah. But when he gets into a place where there is nobody except him and Imrat al-Aziz, woman, right? What happened? She tried to seduce him, to deceive him. And subhanAllah, I always enjoy this, and I relate it to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that says, إِيَّاكُمْ أَن تَقُولَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. Yusuf alayhi salam was a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِمَّا فِتَقُوا اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. SubhanAllah, when he get into that problem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَذَلِكَ لِنَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ السُّوءَ وَالْفَحْشَى. Who protect him from that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, we interfere immediately to protect him from that situation. Because it's a very critical moment which you should always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you. You Allah. Because when you get into that situation, you really come out pure and clean. Even though you don't do anything. And the community knows that you're righteous and somebody is lying against you. But trust me, it remains something of your people look at you because of that. Yusuf, you don't think about him because he was a messenger of Allah, and Quran says and there was no issue. Allah protected him. But an individual, no, you are not Yusuf. The only way left for you is to stay away from it. Yeah, stay away from it. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I warn you from being in places where there is nobody except the opposite gender. They said, Ya Rasulullah, ara'ayta al-ham. What do you think about al-ham? Who is al-ham? Akhu al-zawj. Yeah. Akhu al-zawj. And actually, originally, ham is not akhu al-zawj. It's a qaribul al-mar'ah. It's somebody who is very close to the woman. But then the Arabs, they took the word, they use it as either قريب المرأة or قريب الزوج, one of the parents who is actually mahram to the sister. But then the custom use it to address the sibling of the husband. Because almost all the cultures, when a brother married, his brother also can visit his house, and sometimes he is not there. And the wife will tell him, تفضل, come. And they're alone in the house. And these are young people in the house and alone in the house. And she is not his wife, and he is not the husband. She make for him a cup of tea. Allahu alam. He wallah, Allahu alam. That's why when they told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how about alhamd? Because the custom says this is okay. Nobody can come to the house without the permission of the husband, but his siblings can come to the house without the permission. According to the custom. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, alhamu al-maut. He said, alhamu is equal to death. And he wallah is worse than death. Only Allah knows what is happening. And it's a very dangerous situation. Yeah, very dangerous situation, because if there is the child comes, because he's related to the husband also, a similarity might be there, you know, they will not be able, and the husband also had relationship with her. And if she committed something wrong, how do we know? Even Shubha will not come actually. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I warn you from being in a place where there is nobody except the opposite gender. Nowadays, what do you do, right? A person who has office and there's nobody with him except a sister who is the personal assistant and they live alone. In some situations, they married. These are good words. Yeah, some situations, they married. And that's the best, actually, he did. Yeah? In view of some circumstances that I know happens like that, that's good. Other than that, they will be committing sins throughout their life or being together in one. Do we have any exception? No. Even the medical doctors also don't have exceptions. And they should know about this. Yeah? Some people wrote about this unethical behavior that were there from the doctors, which leads to zina, commission of zina with the patient because she can't do anything. Yeah, so that you will understand why Sharia says this law is applicable on anyone. Is that clear, inshallah? So don't put yourself in the place of the shubha. Always tell yourself, I am weak, I cannot resist. The moment you tell yourself you're okay and you can resist, I'm telling you, you're going to be in trouble. You'll be tested in the way you cannot resist. And you know that type of shahwa, once you get inside, going out of it is not easy. So the best is to stay away from it, as the Prophet said, Allah SWT said. قَالَ وَإِذَا أُرِفَ هَذَا فَتَوَابِعُ كُلِّ نَوْءٍ مِّنْ أَنْوَاءِ الْمَحَبَّةِ لَهُ حُكْمُ مَتْبُوعِهِ فَالْمَحَبَّةُ النَّافِعَةُ الْمَحْمُودَةُ الَّتِي هِيَ عُنْوَانُ سَعَادَةِ الْعَبْدِ وَتَوَابِعُهَا كُلُّهَا نَافِعَةٌ لَهُ وَحُكْمُهَا حُكْمُ مَتْبُوعِهَا. He said, if you understand what I'm saying, then you should know that the consequence, the end of every mahabba has the same hukum of that thing that you are loving. Okay, at tawabi, the tawabi, the result is following the mahabba that you are having. So if the mahabba is, if the result is going to be evil, the mahabba also you're going to be having to that person will be evil. He says, فَتَوَابِعُ كُلٍ مِّنْهُمَا فَتَوَابِعُ كُلٍ فَإِذَا عُرِفَ هَذَا فَتَوَابِعُ كُلٍ نَوْءٍ مِّنْ أَنْوَاءِ الْمَحَبَّةِ لَهُ حُكْمُ مَتْبُوعِهِ. Yet each and every one of them will get any mahabba, the hukum of that mahabba will be according to the result that you are going to have. If you will be ending up loving somebody whose love is going to put you into trouble, then that mahabba will be haram. قَالَ الْمَحَبَّةُ النَّافِعَ الْمَحْمُودَةُ here on one side, the abdu wa tawabi'a kulluha nafi'a. And therefore, the mahabba that is nafi'a, beneficial, the one that is the base, you know, and the essence of your success in this life, Ibn Qayyim says, wa tawabi'a, all the results that happens based on that mahabba are also nafi'a lak and good. And as such, you should continue. Wa hukmuha hukm wa tawabi'a. And if the result is good, then the mahabba is good. And this doesn't mean that we don't believe in that. That is a principle which some people created. They said, Al-Ghaya tutubarridu al-wasila. Meaning, the end justify the means. As long as you are reaching to a good end, then the means also should be okay. Which means tomorrow you can go and put your money in conventional banks to get more riba, you know, to get more riba so that you can spend the riba in Islamic activities. Or you go and join the gambling, you know, and get money. They will tell you, yeah, we want to use that money to support Islam and the Islamic activities. Is that correct? No, that's haram. Yeah, in the way that the goal has to be correct, the means also has to be correct. You cannot use the wrong means to reach. Right? There used to be a thief who takes money from the rich people and distributes it to the poor. He steals and gives it to the poor people. What do you think about that? Good or bad? Of course bad. But distributing money to the poor people, is it good? Yes. But he is doing it in the wrong way, through the wrong means. That's why the correct qaida is the one that says, Al-Ghaya to Natubadil Wasila. Gold doesn't justify the means. Means has to be okay. You cannot steal money and go for Hajj and tell us that I want to do Hajj because Hajj is one of the pillars of Islam. You can't do that. Okay? You cannot do haram for you to reach a good goal. But when it comes to love, loving things that are confirmed by the Sharia to be beneficial to you, that love is also beneficial and okay. Do you get the idea? How do we know that that love is beneficial? Not based on that principle that is wrong, but based on the acceptance of the Sharia for that kind of result which is generated by that law. قَالَ فَإِذَا بَكَى نَفَعُهُ. So you see, a person who loves something and that causes him to cry, you know, نَفَعُهُ ذَلِكَ, he is going to get the benefit of it. وَإِذَا حَزِنَ نَفَعُهُ. Because of the good mahabba, sometimes you became sad. Is that possible? Yes. when something happens, you know, which is bad, or you went against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you come back, you know, you are so sad for what you did and you repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's going to benefit you. You cry because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cry when we lost one of the believers, but you don't say that, which is wrong. That is going to benefit you because it will soften your heart. وَإِذَا حَزِنَ نَفَعُهُ وَإِذَا فَرِحَ نَفَعُ ذَلِكَ. When he becomes happy because of that love, it will benefit him also. وَإِذَا قَبَضَ نَفَعُهُ وَإِذَا بَصَرَ نَفَعُهُ. He becomes moody because of, not being in a state of comfort because of that which happens, this is going to benefit you. Yeah. For instance, when you wake up in the morning during Fajr time, after Fajr, and you do not do the gambling, what usually happens? The good people who are really good and the heart is good and pure and clean who used to do that, trust me, you will be moody. That's bad mood. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, يَعْقِدْ الشَّيْطَانُ عَلَىٰ قَلْفِيَةِ رَأْسِ أَحَدِكُمْ ثَلَاثَ وَقَدْ. Shaitan tie 3 knots on your head. If you wake up at night and make wudu, and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? You know when you wake up, that is adhkar, right? So you wake up, the first thing you mention, you mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and dhikr, one knot will be gone. Okay? When you go and make wudu, one of them will be gone. When you go and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the other one will be gone. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you wake up in the morning for Fajr, you will be nasheed, very happy, having good mood. However, if you wake up after Fajr, those knots will still there. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yusbihu al-insan khabithan, yusbihu al-insan khabithan nafs. I forgot the other word, but he says asbah ka'iban khabith an nafs, something like that. Awkama qala Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The person will be moody and in a state of sadness. Ya Allah, hada mujarrab. Sometimes when you miss the qiyam al-layl, if you are doing, when you wake up, you will not wake up in a good mood. Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'adi, he woke up 1 hour before Fajr. His family thought that somebody died in the house. They heard him saying, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He told him, what happened? They were scared. He told him, 1 hour left for Fajr. And 1 hour, that's awliyaullah. In our time, who wake up 1 hour before Fajr and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The good ones, alhamdulillah, is the one who wake up with the iqama. And these are the student of knowledge according to our mentality. So if a person wakes up without praying the qiyamul layl, sometimes he will be moody. But that moodiness that you have, does it benefit you? It does. Yeah, it does. It does benefit. Because tomorrow, what that person is going to do? He will take all the precautions to make sure that I have a daughter. Usually when I go to sleep, they ask me to wake them up. I woke them up and went back to sleep. So they got so sad. Last night, they did not sleep until the qiyam al-layl. So that's exactly the benefit Ibn al-Qayyim is saying. You become moody, and that helps you to take precautions in the next time. Is that beneficial? Yes. We don't bring it, we don't look for it, but when it happens, sometimes also it puts you in the right way. That's why Ibn al-Qayyim says sometimes ma'asi that somebody commits and repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might be the reason why he became more righteous than before the time he was committing the ma'asi. And I guess this one is mujarrab. Almost everyone has this. You did sin by mistake and you repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much. Sometimes you compare your life after the repentance is better than the life before the commission of the sin. You increase a lot of precautions. You know that this thing put you into trouble, so you put a lot of precautions. That's aqal. And that's what is produced by the muhabba of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالَ فَهُوَ يَتَقَلَّبْ فِي مَنَازِلِ الْمَحَبَّةِ وَأَحْكَامِهَا فِي مَزِيدٍ وَرَبْحٍ وَقُرْبًا. So he will be going, you know, in and out in this, you know, beneficial things that are the result of the mahabba and nafiha. Qala, on the contrary, المحبة الضارة المذمومة توابعها وآثارها كلها ضارة لصاحبها مبعدة له من ربه. He says the contrary takes place when a person has the mahabba that is harmful. All of the things that are the result of this mahabba are harmful to the life of the person. Number one harm he got is that it takes you takes him away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, when you love that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates, it takes you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كَيْفَمَا تَقَلَّ فِي آثَارِهَا وَنَزَلَ فِي مَنَازِلِهَا فَهُوَ فِي خَسَارَةٍ وَبُعْدٍ. Wherever he goes, in whatever circumstance he finds himself, trust me, my dear brothers and sisters, this person will always be in a state of loss and being away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is no way for you to be in state of comfort as long as you are not with Allah. And Ibn Qayyim mentioned something very interesting. He says, وَهَذَا شَأْنُ كُلِّ فِعِلٍ تَوَلَّدَ عَنْ طَاعَةٍ وَمَعْصِيَةٍ. And this is the condition of any action that is the result of a righteousness or deed. The action that is the result of righteousness is beneficial. And the action that is the result of evilness is harmful to your life. Any result that you generated from righteousness is good for you. Even though we might see it hard, but it's good for us. Allah says, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شِيئًا وَخَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Perhaps you might like something, you might hate something, but it is good for you. You might hate something, but it is bad for you. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُ. قَالَ ابْنُ الْقَيِّمِ فَكُلُّ مَا تَوَلَّدَ مِنَ الطَّاعَةِ فَهُوَ زِيَادَةٌ لِصَاحِبِهِ وَقُرْبَةٌ. Anything that is the outcome of good behavior and righteousness, فَهِيَ زِيَادَةٌ, is an increase for the one who is doing it, وَقُرْبَةٌ, and something that brings him closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please take note on this mention of Ibn Qayyim. Yeah. He has a very nice quotation from Surah At-Tawbah. He says anything that is the result, that happened to be the result of righteousness, it is something that will bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and takes you away from shaitan. وَكُلُّ مَا تَوَلَّدَ عَنِ الْمَعْصِيَةِ فَهُوَ خُسْرَانٌ لِسَاحِبِهِ وَبَعْدٍ. And whatever happens to be the result of sin is going to end up by putting you into trouble and loss. Yeah, riba, rishwa, and all of these things that makes you wealthy. But at the end of the day, a person will lose and get into trouble. He says, have a look at the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ لَا يُصِيبُهُمْ ظَمَأٌ وَلَا نَصَبٌ وَلَا مَخْمَصَةٌ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَطَعُونَ مَوْطِئًا يَغِيظُ الْكُفَّارَ وَلَا يَنَالُونَ مِنْ عَدُوٍ نَيْلًا إِلَّا كُتِبَ لَهُمْ بِهِ عَمَلٌ صَالِحٌ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَ نَفَقَةً صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً وَلَا يَقْطَعُونَ وَادِيًا إِلَّا كُتِبَ لَهُمْ لِيَجْزِيَهُمُ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Ibn Qayyim says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the reason why I am treating them in this way is simply because لَا يُصِيبُهُمْ ظَمَأٌ, talking about the mujahideen. They will never be affected by ظَمَأ, this is thirst. وَلَا نَصَبْ, or fatigue, because they're going, working, on their foot, weariness and tiredness, they'll never be affected by this. وَلَا مَخْمَصَةٌ, or hunger. وَلَا مَخْمَصَةٌ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, as long as they're doing that for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يَطَعُونَ مَوْطِئًا يَغِيظُ الْكُفَّارَ, and they will never make a movement that will make the kuffar angry, will make them unhappy. They will never do anything that will upset those enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يَنَالُونَ مِنْ عَدُوٍ نَيْلًا, they will never get any victory, approach to against the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِلَّا كُتِبَ لَهُمْ بِهِ عَمَلٌ صَالِحٌ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write a righteous deed for them on their paper. Do you get this one? قَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, because Allah never neglect and waste the reward of the muhsinun. That's the first group, right? The second group, Allah says, وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَ نَفَقَةً, and they will never spend anything, any wealth. صغير, whether it is good or it is small. ولا يقطعون واديا, or they penetrate a valley, إلا كتب لهم, except that Allah has written right for them that action itself, not عمل صالح, that action itself will be written for them. Meaning, in the first scenario, Allah SWT will write Al-Amal Salih, they attained righteous deed. In the second situation, Allah SWT will ask the angel to write, this person spent something, this person went to this place, this person does this and that. You see the difference, right? One, Allah SWT will ask them to write righteous deed being done by this person. But in the second situation, Allah SWT will tell them to write exactly what he did. Not the reward, but write what he did on his paper. Allah says, يَجْزِيَهُمُ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنَ مَا كَانُوا. In the first one, we know the reward, right? In the second one, we don't know the reward. Last month, I told the angel, just write the action. On the day of judgment, they will be caught on surprise when they see how much Allah SWT is preparing for them. Ibn Qayyim says, فَأَسْكَ قَالَ لِيَجْزِيَهُمُ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. So that Allah SWT will make those ones as a benchmark, right? The one that he pays the reward on it, and then ask the angel to make all of the righteous deeds to be equal to this person. That's how Allah SWT will be with the righteous. قال فأخبر سبحانه وتعالى في الأولى أن المتولد من طاعتهم وأفعالهم يكتب لهم به عمل صالح. Whatever is the result of the righteous, because all of those things that Allah SWT mentioned first, the hunger, and all of these things is the result of the efforts they are making. They're not doing those actions. They're not doing hunger. They're not doing this. But it's a result that was generated because of their effort. Allah SWT says, these type of activities, we write the righteous deed for a person, because they are the result of them, of their actions. وَأَخْبَرَ فِي الثَّانِيَةَ أَنَّ أَعْمَالَهُمْ الَّتِي بَاشَرُوهَا تُكْتَبُ لَهُمْ. And he said in the second ayah that their deed, which they do it directly with their parents and their limbs, this one is going to be written in the way it is. Not as a righteous deed, although they are righteous deed, but last month I will ask them just to write them in the way they are. قَالَ وَالْفَرْقُ بَيْنَهُمَا أَنَّ الْأَوَّلَ لَيْسَ مِنْهَا. The difference between the two is that the first one is not part of their activities. He says, ظَمَوْنَ. And hunger and all of these fatigue that happens to them, and doing something that upsets them. The action itself is their own action, right? But the result of that action is to have these enemies of Allah SWT being annoyed. This is not their action, but it's the result of the action. Yeah, but in the second ayah, all of those that are mentioned, this is their effort. Because Allah SWT says they are making a movement, they're walking there, you know, penetrating the valley and the river, you know, and they also spend it for the sake of Allah. Allah says, we will write this one in the way it is. So Ibn Qayyim says, أَنَّ الْأَوَّلْ لَيْسَ مِنْ فِعْلِمْ. The first one is not part of their action. It's the result of their action. وَإِنَّمَا تَوَلَّدَ عَنْهُمْ فَكُتِبَ لَهُمْ بِهِ عَمَلٌ صَالِحٌ. That's why Allah wants to write a righteous deed for them because of that action. وَالثَّانِي نَفْسُ أَعْمَالِهِمْ فَتُكْتَبَ لَهُمْ كَمَا هِيَ. And the second one is exactly what they did. And Allah SWT asked them to write it in the way it is. To get an idea. So subhanAllah, this is how we move in the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I do something which is righteousness. Do I get reward for that? Yes. And what is it going to be written on my account? That righteous deed. The salah, it will be written. The zakah, it will be written. You know, the kindness will be written. Whatever I did physically, Allah will write it down. After that, good result is generated from those deeds. Am I going to get something?
Yes.
Every good result also will be written as an amal as-salih. Subhanallah. قَالَ فَلْيَتَأَمَّلْ قَتِيلُ الْمُحَبَّةِ هَذَا الْفَصْلَ حَقَّ التَّأَمُّلْ لِيَعْلَمَ مَا لَهُ وَمَا عَلَيْهِ. He says, I wish the qatil. Who is the qatil? The person who is murdered by the law. قَتِيلُ الْمُحَبَّةِ. Do we have people who are killed by their law? Yes. A person who is killed by the law, dominated by his law, he should understand this topic correctly. So that he will understand what does he have and what is against him and what is for him. Remember, he says lack of knowledge can put you into trouble, right? So he says study this topic correctly so that you will know where to put your love and what to do and what to stay away from. And he quoted this nice bait that says, يَعْلَمُ يَوْمَ الْأَرْضِ أَيَّ بِضَاعَةٍ أَضَاءَ وَإِنَّ الْوَزْنِ مَا كَانَ حَصَّلًا. He says a person will know يَوْمَ الْأَرْضِ. What is يَوْمَ الْأَرْضِ? Day of judgment. And he's making a parable analogy. The day people are having the exhibition, right? Everyone is bringing his product, you know, to advertise it and promote it to others. But he is referring to the day of judgment. So, يَعْلَمُ يَوْمَ الْأَرْضِ أَيَّ بِضَاعَةٍ. A person will understand on the day of judgment, the day of presentation, أَيَّ بِضَاعَةٍ أَضَاعَ. Which product you neglected and you don't pay attention to? What did you lose? وَإِنَّ الْوَزْنِ مَكَانَ حَصَّلًا. And when the scale is being fixed, a person will understand what exactly he generated from those fake love that he has in this dunya. So basically, Ibn Qayyim is trying to tell us that whenever you decide to love something or somebody, study that person first and see how much benefit you can generate from that love. If there is no benefit, in fact, you are going to generate harm to yourself, it is wajib upon you to stay away from him, otherwise on the day of judgment he will die. And this is applicable in all circumstances, right? Between friends and friends, family and family, husband and wife, the same thing. Yeah, if you know that remaining with somebody can lead to kufr, it is necessary for you to stay away from the person. She came to the Prophet ﷺ and said to Allah, my husband, the state is right. Although they approached later on, they realized that she is the troublemaker. Yeah, because it happens also in the time of Umar, I guess, and the companions understand that she's a troublemaker. She can live with every husband, also the same result. And this one, she came, Thabit ibn Qais ibn Shammas, this one, we believe he's one of the awliya Allah, Azza wa Jalla, one of the awliya Allah. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Thabit, got, what do you call, afraid of him going to hell because of the revelation of which surah? Surah al-Hujurat. لَكَرْبُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِي. His voice is a bit loud. So when Allah says, do not raise up your voice when you speak to Rasulullah, Thabit says, oh, throughout my life, whenever I speak, it's like that. So he said, that means my righteous deeds are gone, which means I'm going to hell. So he made a conclusion. So he went back to the house and cried, and he missed the prayers. You know, he just prayed at home. He was crying day and night. Rasulullah missed him. He sent somebody to go and look for him. They went, they found him at home. And they told him, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam missed you. What happened? So he told them that I always raise up my voice when I speak to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He wasn't doing that intentionally because this is how Allah created him. He said, that means I'm going to go to hell. Because Allah says, أَنْتَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَتَشْعُرُونَ. He said, I lost all of my good deeds. I'm going to hell. When they told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, go and tell him it is not like this. سَيَعِيشُ سَعِيدًا وَيَمُوتُ شَهِيدًا وَيَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ. SubhanAllah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said he will live as what you call a righteous person, and he will die as a shaheed, and he will be going to paradise. Ibn Uthaymeen says, وَحَاكَدَ كُلُّ مَنْ خَافَ اللَّهِ أَمَّنَهُ اللَّهِ. And you Allah, this is really, really nice story that everyone should remember. From this story, we learn that if you fear Allah, Allah will give you aman and peace in this life. وَعِزَّتِي وَجَلَالِي لَا أَجْمَعُ لِعَبْدِي أَمْنَيْنِ وَلَا خَوْفَيْنِ. Allah says, I will never combine two pieces, you know, for a person and two fears. إِنْ وَأَمِنَنِي فِي الدُّنْيَا أَخَفْتُهُ فِي الْأَخِيرُ. If he is in a state of comfort, that nothing will happen, and he does whatever he wants to do, even though it is against Allah, Allah says, أَخَفْتُهُ فِي الْأَخِيرُ. I will make him in a state of fear in the akhirah when he meets me. But if he's afraid of me, which led him to stay away from evil deed, Allah says, I will give him the aman in the akhirah and also the dunya. Allah says, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ الْأَمْنُ وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. You fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and don't commit shirk, Allah promised to give you aman in this dunya and the akhirah. Is that clear, inshallah? And this is exactly what happened to Thabit. He died during the Hurub al-Riddah. right? As a shaheed, because we say shaheed because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said he will be going to Jannah. His wife came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "Ya Rasulullah, Thabit ibn Qais." She said, "My husband, I don't have any issue with him. He's upon the best of minds. No issue with him. Okay, man. Why do you want to stay away from him?" She said, "Illa annani akrahu al-kufra ba'da dukhul fil Islam." She said, "I don't want to become a kafir after I accept Islam." She knows what she is going through. Rasulullah did not ask her, "What is that kufr?" But she said, "Ya Rasulullah, I started to be afraid of going back to kufr." Wallahu alam. Maybe she think that she cannot take care of his need and on, you know. Wallahu alam. She knows the justification. Because in Islam, seeking for the divorce is wrong. Unless if there is a correct justification. If there is justification, yes, it's correct, it's okay. Because just like the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a way out for the brothers when a brother doesn't like to stay with a woman, he goes for the divorce. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gave the sisters the way out, because it is not only the brothers always don't like to stay with the sisters. Sometimes she also doesn't want to stay with him. Is there any way out? Yes, there is. The khulu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed for them. Ibn Rushd did an excellent job when he was talking about this matter. He said this is the way out that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the brothers, and he gave also the sisters in the same way. So she said, "I don't want to go back to kufr, you know, after accepting Islam." And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam called him and then asked him to divorce her. And he told him, "Can you give him back the mahar he gave you?" She said, "Yes, waziyada." Do you know about this waziyada? Yeah, there is a hadith that says waziyada, but it is weak narration. She said, "I will give him waziyada and also an additional amount also." Yeah, but that part is weak. Yeah, that's why the best opinion is one that says he only has a right to take what he gave her as a mahar. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him to divorce. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq and help us to make a right decision when we choose somebody to go with. Innahu bi kulli jamilin kafir. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Nobody is sitting on the table.
If you're sitting at a table with six good brothers and one guy comes and you know he has bid'ah, yes, but no one else knows, and he sits at the table, is everyone at the table bad, or like what should you do in this situation?
I just keep quiet. It's better. Let him eat and then later on go and meet him and advise him. Yeah. The moment you should start talking about his innovation is the time when he starts spreading. But if he between him and himself, you don't talk. But the moment you start inviting people to the innovation, start promoting what he does, then it is wajib upon you to remind others about him.
But I read that if
I know, it doesn't mean then you will be running away in this life, you know, wherever you go, you know, you find this type of people wherever you go. No, it means to be with them in their meetings, in their programs. Occasionally it comes that the person comes, you know. An event comes, you're invited, he's invited. The best is to decline, not to go. But this is coincidentally, it happens that you sit in a place where he also sits. You can just finish your thing and leave the place. Yeah. But in you come to the place and you find the discussion is better, and one of them is like this. You don't sit, you leave the place. It's better for you. Because when people come and see you with him, then they will think that you're also. And that's why we should learn this. You know? When somebody is wrong, and he's known to be like this, if you are invited, you and him for a program, you should try. I remember one of the scholars, his condition to appear on TV and talk, he told the channel, they will never bring somebody who will come and invoke what he said on this place. He said, "I don't want to be there, but if you insist that I have to come, then this is my condition." So they accept. That's why always they bring people who are like him. Is that good? Yes, it's good. Yeah, it's good. Otherwise, it will be confusing the community. Yeah. He comes and says something, I come after that, I say something else. People don't know who to follow. They trust the channel, and the channel is bringing people who are contradicting each other. That's why scholars should understand this also. It is not good for you to contradict another scholar who is upon the same manhaj as you openly. Unless if it is something that you have to go for this. But things that you can conceal them, it's better to go to him. Because if he has iman, he will be welcoming you. And he will be willing to hear from you, how do you see things? And then you'll be able to resolve the things with him. He will go by himself and correct himself. And then he will tell you, no problem, you can talk, I don't mind. You can talk and please fix it wherever you are. Because sometimes if you go and talk against him, it's with you in the same manhaj, aqidah-wise, and almost everything is the same. But this issue, particular issue, beautiful, and this is fiqh matter. Sometimes what happens is, Adam, they will start fighting each other, these two scholars, and the student will get into trouble. That's why Imam al-Zahabi said, kalam al-aqran yutwa wa la yurwa. He said, kalam al-aqran yutwa wa la yurwa. The criticism and the exchange of words that takes place between colleagues, mates, classmates, you know, scholars, you know, and their friends. He said, usually when we come, we just close. We don't narrate it. Because if, let's say, Mazin and Abdurrahman are our scholars here. And Mazin and Abdurrahman are fighting each other, and Allah protect. And the three of us, we study under Abdurrahman. Three of them, they study under Mazin. If we are going to listen to what Mazin is saying about Abdurrahman, and they're going to listen to what Abdurrahman is saying, you know, they are also going to get involved in the debate and the fighting. And then the students of Mazin will never study under Abdurrahman. This is what is happening, right? You see, scholar, there is no problem with him, but the students of other scholars are criticizing that scholar and telling people not to go and study under him. And you go and check his aqidah, perfect. And actually, maybe it's better than the aqidah of the other sheikh, you know. You go and see his attachment to the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, perfect. You try to understand what exactly is his problem. You see that maybe that is one issue in fiqh, that he doesn't agree with that sheikh. And then it becomes an issue and the student get involved. That's why my job as a student of knowledge, when my sheikh criticizes another scholar who is okay, my job is to do what? Just to smile. Try to convince me that sheikh is bad. Tomorrow, that sheikh is giving lesson. What do? Go and learn. Otherwise, you will be deprived from knowledge for no reason. Again, that's why Imam al-Dhahabi said, kalam al-aqran yutwa wa la yurwa. You just listen, hold it, keep it aside, and go and study. Right? But nowadays, we don't do that. We get involved in the criticism. That's what we don't learn. Get it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us. I shouldn't be accepted. If Khawarij succeeded by now, I don't have Adam in front of me here. Even Allah. Khawarij believes that those ayat that talks about the enemies of Allah should be placed on the believers, and they did. Khawarij believes that leadership is useless. We can go against the leader anytime the leader makes mistakes. And that's produced chaos. That's what put the Muslims into trouble during the time of Ali bin Abi Talib and Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan. Up to date, if you go around, you know, the world and see the places where these protests and things are taking place, and look at the cities, how they become. Rasulullah said we should listen and obey our leaders. Khawarij said no. Okay? Khawarij says if a person commits a sin, he is kafir, kufr, mukhrij min al-millah. He goes out of Islam completely. He will go to hell forever. He has so many other things. A person who is having menses, she can pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fast. That's why when that sister told Aisha, she said, how come Ha'id doesn't pay the prayers and she pays the fasting. So Aisha immediately asked her, Al-Haruriyatu anti, are you one of the Khawarij? Yeah, because this is their belief. And they have some aqidah matters also that are inappropriate. Yeah, but one of the worst things they have is they legalize the blood of the believers. That's why they ask Ali bin Abi Talib, Ahum kuffar, are they kuffar? He said, no, min al-kufri farhu. They are running away from kuffar. You get it? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called them kilabu ahli nar. They're the dogs of hell. So they're one of the most dangerous entities to exist in this, in the Muslim community. They are Muslims, but the worst type of aqidah that exists in the Muslim community. Yeah, so that's why the aqidah is rejected and cannot be accepted. And the Prophet already talked about them. That they will come. He said, you will see them praying. It will belittle your prayer when you relate it to theirs. They pray much better than us in terms of what appears. Yeah, you see the big sign on their forehead, their eyes is extremely red, you know, because they cry a lot. And all of these, they are doing it sincerely for the sake of Allah. But at the same time, the rest of the Muslims are kuffar. Yeah, they kill the best person on earth, Ali ibn Abi Talib, and the one who killed him, they call him Mujahid. He's a good man. And they praise him so much because they think he was doing jihad for the believers. They plan to kill Muawiyah. They hit him on his backbone. They plan to kill Amr ibn al-As. Also, they did not succeed. They killed the wife of the son of Abdullah, Khabbab bin al-Arat. They cut her stomach and bring the child. She's pregnant and take the baby and threw it off. These are the Khawarij. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yahdina.
Someone doesn't arrive at 4 o'clock at this place. He owes people something because he came.
Oh, he said, if I don't come at exactly 4, then I owe people something. Yeah. Why would he tell himself?
It's like, it's like a deal you guys made.
Shouldn't. Yeah. How do you know? I don't control myself. I don't control my life. You know, these things are in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person shouldn't put him. We always do this. I understand. We always do it. But this is wrong. And we get into trouble from time to time. Yeah. So you will know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control. I told you last time I was going to Inti College to give a khutbah on, I guess that was the 8th khutbah or Jumu'ah. I forgot which one. One of them. Alameen, I have around 25 minutes to the khutbah and I'm here in UI. You don't need lies. So I told my friend, please come out, let's move. And inshallah, if we manage to reach the toll gate, you know that big toll gate, right? Within 10 minutes, inshallah, the rest of the 20 minutes is not for us to go. I did not say inshallah, I just say, I just need to reach that place in 10 minutes. Subhanallah, I don't know how. In a few minutes, we reached there on time. But then right after that, we are confronted by heavy traffic. You know the highway when there's a traffic? That means you have the pillow and the mattress and sleep. SubhanAllah, I told him, SubhanAllah, look, la taqulanna li shay'in inni fa'ilun dhalika ghadan illa an inshallah. Don't you ever say that, yes, I will do something. Say inshallah. It happens a lot that you say, yeah, I will do something. You forgot to say inshallah, and something will come and block you. So that's why it's wrong for a person to tell his friends that if I don't reach this place at exactly 5, I will buy you kebab. I wish I'm there, you know, also to enjoy the kebab. You know? Who will give the thing? He or them? Who came late? Who is agreeing? You are agreeing that if he comes late and he has to give you something. Yeah, I understand. Like us, yeah, Abdurrahman is away from us, you know. And then we say, he did not come. We say, wallahi, if he did not come by 7, he has to give us something. What language are you speaking then? All of us. Whoever did not come? You should quit. You should tell them no. I will try my best to come. But if I come late, I will not give a single cent. However, if you people bring, I'm involved in the walima. I shouldn't, because you don't know what will happen. Why do I put myself into this pressure? try your best to be there. If you don't, then you can't do that. Subhanak. Okay, faster before people start coming.
First question, question by a brother. The brother says, I've been rejected by a potential spouse that I really thought was perfect for me after learning about her. She's righteous, kind, etc. I have developed a form of love. How do I get rid of this?
Say inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Allahumma ajirni fi musibati wa akhlif li khayran minha. He said he loves somebody and he thinks he's righteous but rejected, right? That's very normal. Yeah, that's very normal. As a Muslim, you should understand that not every time you should be accepted. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might deprive you from getting something but it's good for you. Yeah? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might let you get something which you don't like but it is good for you also. You love something which is not good, and you hate something which is good for you. So whatever Allah SWT has chosen for you should be accepted by you. And my advice to this brother is to close that page and to understand that Allah SWT creates. How many sisters do we have on earth? Only. Are you sure? The world, our Muslim sisters. No, I think the Muslims are how many? 2 billion, right? Or 1.8, right? And most likely sisters are more than the brothers, right? He's rejected by one, and then he gets moody, you know? Adam says there are billions of sisters, right? You will lie, this is true. Why is it possible for a sister to kill herself? We have situations like this, somebody who puts himself into danger. Why? Because she's rejected by somebody. Why? You will lie. This is dumbness. This is what I call dumbness. How many people you have waiting there, looking for somebody to accept them? A lot. And this sister or this brother, no matter how much righteous they are, oqsimu billah, go out to the city, you'll find, inshallah, 100% way better than them in righteousness. If you're looking for beauty, go out, you'll see somebody who is 100% more beauty than this one. If you're looking for handsomeness or richness, wherever you go, there is somebody who is more. Why do you restrict your success to this person? And then a person becomes moody because he's rejected by a sister, or his sister is rejected by a brother. Wallahi, I see it as dumbness. This is so silly. I'm not addressing the brother, but this kind of behavior is wrong. Muslims shouldn't be like that. Yeah. Just close that page and keep it aside and move forward. You get it? You should be a man. You should be a woman. When a person says no, you tell them no. And don't go and bang. I found it inappropriate for a person to go and send people and beg the house of the family, the family of the sister to agree. Or they are sending, this is worse actually, when they send somebody to beg the brother's family to agree. At least if a brother is begging, I can understand because he says, I'm a tluba. But sister is begging somebody to accept. What is this? It's against the norm, right? Right or wrong? Right, it's against the norm. So my advice to my brother, please close this page. You know, and don't open it again. And look for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala somewhere else. And tell yourself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deprived me from getting this for good. I might not know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is intending for me, but I believe whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for me is better. And close this page completely and look for somebody else. Is that difficult? No, it's not. If you open your eyes and look correctly, سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته